This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
As always, to kick off the drama show, we have Creative Writing Society. Julia, what pieces have we got today?
Hi. Well, today we have four or five pieces, depending on how time goes. And with me today are Jack.
Hello.
Danny.
Heya.
Oren.
Hi.
And Adam.
Hello.
Last week at our Lit Circle, we had our crime theme, which...
How did that go?
It went well. It was...
Yeah, lots of murder planning going on, or crime planning, which is quite unsettling, but...
But it'll be good for next week, so that'll be useful for the murder mystery.
Mm.
So, Jack, you have a piece that was written in the Lit Circle, right?
Yeah, so it's not... It's a bit, you know, shaky around the edges, but it was based on a prompt we got given. It was a great place for murder. But I changed it to places in fish, so there we go. It was a great place for murder, murmured Detective Keyes, admiring the weapon. But there's something kind of fishy about a guy killing the mayor of a fish, he smirked, as if expecting me to smile at that car crash of a joke. I pulled out my 44 and shot him dead. Can't have wise guys on my team. Sandy, used to my constant killing of wise guys, just shook her head and started looking for clues. Chief, I got something, she exclaimed. Looks like the perp chipped his nails on the way in. Looks like we have place and chips. She realised too late that the joke was tepid at best, and the second was prostrate amongst the rest of the evidence, 44 round opening a peephole to her brain. Well, looks like I'm on my own. But the case was all wrong. Why would the perp use a place to kill the mayor? He must have been a real fish out of water. Oh God, that was awful. Oh, time to end it. Bang.
That was short and sweet.
That was lovely.
Yeah, well, sweet if counting all the dead people, but you know.
Yeah. How many was it? Like two or three? Was it?
No, only two or three.
Oh yeah,
and a fish. Did you count the fish?
Oh no.
Cool. Okay.
Fish aren't people in my book. Yeah.
Controversial.
Ooh. What a controversial piece to start the show off.
Yeah, you know, just puns all around and
lots of death,
murder, which pretty much sums up creative writing. Which
puns and death.
Yeah, that's actually very concerning.
Oh, it's great.
It's what makes us unique. Okay, I have a piece which was not written in the Lit Circle, but was not written at a ridiculous time in the morning either.
What, are we going to say like 2 a.m. or something like that?
No.
4 a.m.? Midnight?
10 this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good,
so
good.
Technically even more last minute.
Yeah,
well,
true,
it's Sunday,
true.
So that's even more ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if it's better or worse.
You were up until 10 last night?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I'm a rebel.
Let's go with that anyway. Let's go.
Okay. The world keeps spinning. Sometimes you don't remember that, in those midnights where the world is caught in your throat and breathing doesn't come naturally. The evenings when your soul aches and there's too much, far too much hurt for one body to deal with can be cruel, and the universe seems to shrink until you're taking up too much space under the soft folds of your duvet. Everything seems to stop. One chink in your armour and the demons come running. And for a while, you can't fight back. After all, how do you defeat your own mind? But with every sunset comes a sunrise, no matter how far away it seems. And after a while, a long, long while, you can breathe again. The fine lines of dried tears on your face seem to fade, and the pillow, deafened by the screams that only it is allowed to hear, is a gentle comfort to your tired head. You wake up the next morning, and life continues as usual. You fight. You win, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Remnants of battles never leave you, after all. Just because some scars are invisible, or in your own head, doesn't mean they don't exist. You're a warrior. And life goes on after every fight.
Wow. Mm.
Happy times. Cheery.
Merry.
Yeah. So that's what's going around my head at 10 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning, wow.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good.
And incredibly, once again, incredibly descriptive and lots of nice imagery, twinned with the emotions. That's really good.
Thank you.
Stuff.
Cheers.
So what we're going to do is, after those two very short and sweet pieces, we're going to hear a bit of music, but we still have three more pieces on the way.
This is URN.
URN.
University.
Radio.
Nottingham.
Welcome back to the drama show. It's 9 minutes past three, and you're here with me, Joseph Archer, as well as the Creative Writing Society. Now, Julia, we're going to have another long
We're going to have a nice long piece. And of course, we've heard some of this material before, haven't we? Of course, it's part of the crime series, I'm assuming, the detective stuff.
Yeah,
right?
This is actually from my NaNoWriMo. So yeah, for any of you, I haven't actually been here for 2 weeks, so I don't know how many of you have remembered what's been going on in the story.
Yeah.
But basically, my main character, Eva, she comes home late from work for like the fourth time in a week.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend's really angry, so he kind of dumps her.
Yeah.
And this is the aftermath of that. I swear it gets a bit cheery, so it's not just very depressing. But yeah, so enjoy, guys. The winter chill bit at my neck as I stood on the balcony of my flat smoking. I hadn't smoked in nearly 2 years, and here I was puffing away, trying to relieve some of the stress and sadness that I felt. Alfie had left last night and it was awful. I knew that me coming home late for the fourth night in a row had been out of order, but I never thought this would be the end of our relationship. I'd called in sick that morning and Menken hadn't protested at my absence. I'd been sitting in my pyjamas all day feeling hollow. I'd blown my relationship all for the sake of a stupid case which wasn't even anywhere near to being solved. Alfie had been right. None of it was worth it. I finished the cigarette and threw it to the ground, stubbing it out with my foot, using more force than was probably necessary, but I just didn't care. Even if it was slowly ruining my body, it was the only thing which came anywhere close to assuaging the misery that I felt. I went back inside, but it felt odd to be in there. Alfie's scent seemed to linger, the smell of his cologne floating tauntingly around the rooms. He hadn't taken all of his stuff when he'd stormed out last night, just a couple of suitcases filled with his casual clothes and his work attire. I naively hoped that he would text or call me to tell me that he'd made a mistake and that he wanted me back, but this was a childish wish. I padded into the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I refused to have any more coffee. I wanted something comforting, and everyone knows that that tea is like liquid therapy. I sat in the living room, slowly drinking the tea and casually flicking through the television channels. I wanted to feel better, but I knew that something like this would take time. I was drifting off into what felt like a rather disturbed sleep when the buzzer sounded. Who in God's name was calling round? A small part of me thought stupidly that it was Alfie coming right back to make amends, but as I ran to the door and opened it, I saw that it was Aaron, standing there, dressed casually and holding a bottle of wine, a rather sympathetic smile on his face. "What are you doing here?" he said, looking bewildered. He rolled his eyes. "Well, you never take the day off, so I figured that there must be something very wrong with you," he said, staring me up and down. I remembered that I must have looked something dreadful. Still in my sweatpants and an old t-shirt, hair thrown up in a messy bun, and I probably reeked of stale cigarette smoke. "Alfie broke up with me last night," I said in a hollow voice. Aaron nodded solemnly and stepped forward to give me a hug, his head resting on top of mine. "I'm sorry, kiddo," he said into my hair. The comfort of his arm set me off, and without meaning to, I burst into tears again. Aaron put the wine down and continued to hold me, gently stroking my hair. After a few moments, I pulled away, sniffing in what must have been a very unattractive manner, and wiping my eyes on the back of my hand. "Sorry," I said hoarsely. "Do you want to come in?" Aaron nodded, and I stepped back to let him pass me. He took his coat off and hung it on our coat rack, and then he slipped his trainers off, before picking up the wine and handing it to me. I looked up at him, confused. "Well, I wasn't going to come over empty-handed," he said, as if it was the most obvious thing in the world. "And also, I thought that you could use some alcohol to make you feel better." I looked at the bottle. It was a fine Pinot Noir, which happened to be one of my favourite wines. "We don't have to get drunk," he added quickly. "But I don't know, I just thought it would be..." His voice trailed away and I smiled. "Thank you," I said earnestly. "It's very nice of you." He offered me a lopsided smile in return and I gestured for him to follow me to the living room. I vaguely remembered that this was the first time that he'd ever been over to my place. Thankfully, the living room wasn't too messy, and he just flopped onto the sofa opposite me and stared round. "Nice place, Stevens. It's much nicer than mine." "Thanks," I said, imitating him and staring around at the room. I had rented this flat on my own before Alfie and I had started living together, but for the last year and a half it had always felt more like our place rather than my own. "So," said Aaron, "you picked the right day to skip work." My head snapped back towards him and I raised an eyebrow in surprise. "Why so?" "The office is going mad, and there's been another death, this time at the Dorchester." "What the actual goddamn frick?" I exclaimed, and Aaron snorted at my choice of profanity. "What's Menken said?" I asked, ignoring him, and Aaron shrugged. "He's getting desperate for answers, but the Chelsea lot aren't taking it as seriously as he would have hoped. Plus, I think that Song is getting scared too." I nodded. It must have been horrible for her, the constant paranoia that you could be next in a line of victims. That poor woman. "But yeah," said Aaron, his voice bringing me out of my reverie. "So, what do you want to do?" I looked at him, an amused smile on my face. "Yeah, that's it," I said, grinning sarcastically. I said sarcastically, grinning. turn up at my flat unannounced and start suggesting activities in my own home? He grinned back at me cheekily. Well, I've got to keep you occupied. You're sad and I'm here to help. I smiled again, less amusedly and more earnestly. I didn't know when Aaron had become my friend, but I was honestly so glad that I had him there to keep me company. The rest of the afternoon passed amicably. Aaron and I ordered pizza. I discovered that he was in fact a huge fan of How I Met Your Mother, and I had the entire box set, so we watched up to season 4, eating pizza and drinking the wine that he bought. It was 11 o'clock at night when he finally left. We stood in the hall and I watched him as he put his coat on. I couldn't help but notice, and this was probably the wine talking, that he seemed to have gotten more attractive. Thank you for coming over, I said, smiling once he was ready to go. He smiled and held his arms out. You're more than welcome, he said, grinning and hugging me tightly. I just wanted to see that you're okay. Besides, he'll soon realise that he's an idiot for letting you go. I nodded, knowing that he was referring to Alfie. Anyway, he said, letting me go. I need to go. I'm in at 9, so I should probably get some sleep tonight. But I'll see you tomorrow? Yeah, I said, smiling. I'll be in early tomorrow, too. Until tomorrow, then, he said, opening the door and stepping out into the hall. Good night, Eva. Night, Aaron, I said, waving as he walked off down the hall. I shut the door and locked it before taking a moment to lean against it. I'd woken up that morning feeling monumentally shite, but somehow Aaron's presence seemed to have provided me with more comfort than I ever thought it would have. He'd been one of the first friends I'd had in a while, and that small amount of time with him had done wonders on me. And whilst I knew that Alfie would still be on my mind for a while, I knew that this horrible feeling would soon pass.
It's so good to hear more of the story. That's what I really like. It was really good. Really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, that was brilliant. And I mean, I hope that even though like NaNoWriMo is technically ending tomorrow, then you'll keep going with that, because I really want to hear more of it.
How did you find the November, what's it called again?
NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo. How did you find it? How did you find it?
I haven't been as dedicated to it as I thought I would have, but I managed to get a decent word count. I think I'm near 20,000 words, so it's something which I'll probably continue and finish over Christmas, hopefully, once all my coursework's done.
Did you find that putting a deadline there for you was it was a hindrance or a good thing, or what do you think it was?
Definitely a good thing, because I know a lot of people here will probably agree with me that sometimes finding time to write is difficult.
Yeah.
And I think if you've got sort of that time constraint, it kind of gets you into gear, and you realise if you've got an idea for a story, what you really need to do is just kind of sit down, take a few hours out of your day if you can, and just write until it gets out. And I think it's quite good. Like, and sometimes, like with mine, Anna, what I found is that I just had a random sort of idea which actually came out of a lit circle, so thank you, creative writing. So, and then I thought I could actually, you know, try and do this over November. I mean, trying to do it and juggling your third year probably wasn't the wisest thing I've ever done, but definitely giving me a starting point to continue
the
story.
You know that now. We know that. Though. We've learned a lot of lessons, so go to the lit circles and not nick ideas, but get inspired to get ideas and all that sort of stuff. So, yes, keep listening to the drama show here. We have as well the Nottingham Youth Theatre talk about their next most recent play, Macbeth, as well as Improv Society coming in at 4:30. But stick around, we still have two more pieces from the Creative Writing Society. Welcome back to the drama show. It is 22 minutes past 3, and you're here with me, Jess Fletcher, as well as the Creative Writing Society. We have, was it two more pieces?
Two more pieces, yes. And both of them, again, come from our Crime Lit Circle this week.
Ooh,
so
brilliant.
Clearly it was a very inspirational session. You know, and Oren, you're going to start us off.
Yeah, so just a bit of context. This is again not my NaNo stuff, but it's from two tasks from the Lit Circle, and I just pulled them together. The first was just crime tropes in general, and then the second one was a prompt, a great place for murder, like Jack's, but a little more grounded. Alex's hair and trench coat were matted with a mixture of blood and rainwater as he shuffled into the room. Several eyes were on him, but they all knew not to question him, which he quietly delighted in. The lighting was dim and moody, and all the drones in a police force were hammering away on their respective laptops and answering phone calls in the same customer response voices. Inspector James Southall tripped and spilled his papers everywhere, landing face down on the carpeted floor. Alex shook his head and helped the incompetent fool. Metropolitan Police's finest. He pulled a cigarette from his pocket and put it in his mouth. You can't smoke in here, Inspector. You know that, Chief Superintendent Meyer said, appearing like an apparition. Her lips were pulled into a line and she looked tired. Must have been the divorce, Alex thought. Should you be doing that given the situation? I'm not smoking, he replied, cigarette bobbing as he was speaking. She gave him a stern look and he exhaled, tucking it behind his ear. Wait, what are you talking about? For Pete's sakes, DCI Matthews, clean up. Sort your damn life out. He gestured to himself, incredulous. She sighed and walked off, but stopped all of a sudden, remembering something. Harriet wanted to see you. Wait, where is she? In her office, as usual. He grinned. Thanks. Spinning on his heel, he strode away, face dropping as he heard her mutter, two peas in a pot. He let himself in, welcoming her open door policy. The smell of sweat and old food assailed his nostrils. Jeez, Harriet, open a window or something. She was sat cross-legged on her stool. Her hair was a mess of mud brown, covering most of her eyes, and she scratched her crumpled shirt. Go away, Alex, he replied. Fine, he began, turning away. He heard the sound of a window being kicked open, the cacophony of things piling and diving out to London's wet streets filling the air. Cars streaked through the rain in the distance, and he was glad he was inside at long last. Alex laughed. Damn, girl, you need to sort your room out. Later, she looked to him, large green eyes expressive. Murder most foul. You always know how to make me sweet on you. He strode over and hugged her and pushed his lips to the top of her head. She stuck a sweaty hand up and shoved his face back. Back away, you peasant, she chastised, albeit in jest, because you're not going to like this. What? He broke away and folded his arm. She sniffed once, twice, several times. You need a shower. Speak for yourself, he scoffed. What happened to you exactly? He didn't answer, and so they sat in silence for a long while. She cracked her neck and stared at her Mac, completely immobile. She was moving into analytical mode, he thought. With her feet, she cleared her desk of paper, then making a surprising amount of noise as they thudded to the ground. Placing her laptop down again, she reached into the top drawer of her desk and pulled out a manila folder. She wasn't looking at him. He frowned and opened it. The pictures were of a dead child lying across a sofa. A generous stream of nearly black blood was draining from his neck, and his eyes were staring at nothing. He was painfully familiar, that dark leather. A great place for murder, Harriet said, eyes locked, not on her laptop, but the middle distance. What? He looked up, and his blood ran cold, his fingers numbing. She rested a small, calloused hand on his arm, and then placed it on his stomach, a familiar sign of affection. I'm so sorry, Alex. He heard a booted footsteps hammer in the background, and the door was shoved open. He was dragged to the floor, and had his hand tied behind his back all in one motion, it felt like. Harriet? She said nothing, kept her eyes locked forward. Harriet! It was your place, Alex, the chief superintendent said. Good work, Harriet. She turned to him. We need to ask you some questions, Inspector. Why do it like this, he thought. I walked through the door and no one said a damn thing. He struggled and shook like a madman, like the criminal they thought he was. As he looked over his shoulder, hauled out by half the floor's police, he saw Harriet shed a single tear.
Wow. That was so good. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, I just really love how you took the tasks. Yeah.
Thank you.
I really love your writing.
And it's so coherent as well, written in a lit circle where it's, you know, everyone's talking, it's noisy. To keep it that, like, structured and coherent, it's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think bringing my laptop in instead of writing on paper is helping me out now.
Right, and our final piece is from Adam. And again, this was written in the lit circle.
It's the... This one, there is more, but I won't read that because it would get too long. This was from the first sort of collection of tropes we wrote up on the... Why are you pointing that microphone thing at me?
It's so we can hear you.
Okay. It was a dark and rainy day in Noir City, and the occasional rumble of distant thunder pierced the quiet of Detective Inspector Terry Witness's office. The shutters were drawn, and rain flowed down the windows, the streetlights outside casting orange-dappled patterns on the walls. Terry shoved the third cigarette of the morning up his nose and looked expectantly at the door as a knock sounded, discordant against the sound of the rain. "Come in," he said, and the door opened slowly, slow saxophone music playing in the distance, as one of those dames walked in, all classy in that. The source of the music became apparent. Over her classy dress, trench coat and coiffed hair, the classy dame was wearing a one-man band costume. She spat out the harmonica and began to speak. "Hey, you a detective?" Her voice was like treacle dripping down the back of a greasy bear. "Well, doesn't it say so on my door?" Terry replied. "No." Okay. The cleaners must have cleaned it off. I'll get some chalk and write that back on. I'm Detective Inspector Terry Witness." The end.
Thank you. I think, Adam, how about you come in next week? Because we've got to end it there, but I really enjoyed that. Are you up for coming in next week and hearing more of that?
Oh, sure.
How many more chapters are there?
There's like... four more pages?
Ah, brilliant stuff. We look
of
forward to them.
About the same length.
We look forward to them. Again, yeah. Once again, very powerful imagery. Thank you. So, thanks a lot, Creative Writing Society, for coming on this week.
Thank you.
Once again, such a varied amount of different pieces. So, please plug what you're doing on Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, next week flows really well from our Crime Week because we're doing our Christmas event, which is the murder mystery.
Ah.
Because there's no better way to celebrate Christmas than, you know, murder. Trying to figure out who was dead. So, yes, if you want to take part in that, join us in B38A in Trent on Wednesdays, 7 till 9. And on Thursdays, even though NaNoWriMo is over, if you have anything you're working on and you want to spend a couple of hours working on it, join us in room 104 in Hallwood Library on Thursday.
No. Oh. We don't have that room, sorry.
Oh.
Remember. Yeah, no, we do not have that room. The room is to be confirmed. Forgive me about that. Christmas time is like all the bookings have come like weeks in advance, so I couldn't get a room. But yeah. Oh.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. I will post in the next couple of days, don't worry.
Yeah, and that will be revealed at some point.
Brilliant. Thanks again, Creative Writing Society. See you guys next week for some what's called Detective Grant. More of that lovely stuff. But we have got Macbeth coming in next from the Nottingham Theatre to talk about their play this week.
This is URN,
the Drama Show Breakdown.